Chapter 37, Complacency 2023. Kind of an important one. Well, if the enemy cannot make you sin, he'll stagnate you. Remember that as we go through 37. In 36, I accept the God of the Bible, not a God of my choosing or of my creation, but the Bible et al. But by doing so, I will now come against the devil in the Bible et al. Satan, the enemy of us all, is real. And just as you have committed yourself to the Lord, Satan is committed to your destruction. William Grinnell is known by his book, Christian in Complete Armor, published in three volumes dated 1655, 58, and 62. It's a writing for the Christian spiritual battle. I quote Grinnell, "The devil has more temptation than an actor has costumes for the stage. And one of his all-time favorite disguises is that of a lying spirit, to abuse your tender heart with the worst news he can deliver, that you do not really love Jesus Christ and that you are only pretending, you are only deceiving yourself." That was pretty big. Billy Graham, in his film, An Extraordinary Journey, spoke clearly on the topic. Don't think of Satan as a harmless cartoon character with a red suit and a pitchfork. He is very clever and powerful, and his unchanging purpose is to defeat God's plan at every turn, including his plans for your life. I have begun a journey in 36 that will constitute basic learning throughout the rest of my life, implementing the tools found in Scripture, and my first stop on the devil's plan for my catastrophic failure is complacency. It's my first stop. After 36, when I accept the God that's in the Bible, my first stop is complacency. What is the tool against me deciding what is important and what is to be complacent? What is the tool? What is the tool in deciding? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Complacency can be over my whole life or over just a few chosen items. I can decide such matters in the name of God and the future, family, all things that are good and holy. Yeah, I can decide to turn something off that's really important because I don't think it's important. And I can do it in the name of everything that's great, everything that's good, everything that's holy as a believer. Let's get back to basics, because none of it's true. None of it's true. As a believer in Christ, I'm gifted the promises of God. The promises of God are explicit, and there are many. But I can't have them if I don't believe in the God that's in the Bible, because the God that's in the Bible is the guy who made the promises. Did you know there's about 8,000 promises? About 8,000. Do you really want to miss any of them? I don't want to miss any of them. But let me sum up 8,000 of them. Let me try to sum up 8,000. His Spirit will live in you, giving you new power, new desire, and new capacity, so that you will escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Sin shall no longer be your master. Wow. Some of that in Scripture is the Holy Spirit indwells in us and empowers us to live for righteousness, Acts 2:28. He, capital H, produces fruit in our lives that reflects his character. We are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God, Philippians 1:9-11. We will be challenged, of course. Yeah, Proverbs 21:21. To live righteously is to conduct one's life in an upright manner and with moral standards that reflect our relationship with the Lord. As representative to the kingdom of God in all that we do, we should mirror his ways. This will mean, in the face of evil, do what is right. Now, you're going to run into problems when you start thinking like that, right? Right. Well, you get stronger with them. Complacency, however, gets in the way of all those things. And by the way, like I said, we'll do it in the name of everything that's good. As a believer, everything is righteous, we'll call it. It's not true. It's a constant battle of doing things correctly or slightly not correctly. The closer I got to a better, more correct life, the more things come against me. The closer I get, the closer things come against me. The closer I got, the more things came against me. Get it? All the time. In the present, the past, my story, I remember. However, those things make me stronger if I can hold on, man. If I can hold on, that stuff makes me stronger. Which brings me to 37. The devil, once you say okay to 36, is out to get you. The more I try to behave, the more options to misbehave present themselves. I can get very busy with everything except what I should be doing. Why, if I'm really on my hideous game, I could get all wound up in a relationship issue and never get to work at all and feel quite righteous and indignant about what has been done against me, and I can't get anything done now because I have to deal with this, whatever this is. In the worst case scenario, I might even resign my post because there is just too much going on to cover it all, and it shouldn't be this hard. There's too much going on. I can't pay attention to this. I can't get it all done, so it's just too hard. It shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard. Unfortunately, given this turn of events, complacency wins. And what could have been will never be. Oh yeah, dig that, huh? Complacency in the dictionary term is this: a feeling of quiet pleasure or security, often while unaware of some potential danger, defect, or the like, self-satisfaction or smug satisfaction with an existing situation, condition. A complacent person is very pleased with themselves or feels that they do not need to do anything about a situation, even though the situation may be uncertain or dangerous or something to be responsible to. The point? There it is. Even if you don't sin, you could remain away from your responsibilities for any number of good reasons, i.e. complacent, stagnant, mediocre. For me, I decided that was very much a sin. Wasting the salvation of what God had given me, my second chance every day, and I waste it on useless matters that have nothing to do with the God lessons put before me. Matthew 4:8, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. There it is. Everything we want in life. As a company owner, as a person, money, property, and prestige. There it is. I talk about it all the time. The devil offered it to Christ. That is not the goal, kids, as Christ said. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. There it is, the distraction and the solution. The world may be more dangerous today than it ever has been. We need to be aware of what is going on around us in our town, city, country, the world, while we stick to the road that keeps us in order. Scripture is clear that things will happen that signals his coming. We got to stay the course, got to pay attention. I mean, for crying out loud, if the devil had no problem tempting Christ, he certainly isn't going to have any problem tempting you with the next shiny object or something to get you off course. But Scripture says it's clear. When Christ is coming, to be ready, Matthew 24:7, nations will go to war against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Wow, pay attention, kids. Stay on path. Albert Einstein said, the world is a dangerous place to live, not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about it. Becoming cozy with complacency and compromise is one of the mindsets and attitudes that we must resist and overcome. Pretty good, Al. Complacent has never been accused of creating anything beautiful. Nobody ever said, because I was complacent about it, everything got great. Complacency may, in fact, be the mother of all disregard and the death of decency. All of us have fallen victim to this unfortunate phrase, dig this, in one way or another. This is the phraseology of not so good. I need to work on more important matters than these pointless chores. You know, that's not exactly how we say it, but you get the picture. You know what we do. We got other things, better things to do than these silly things. Believe me, everything is everything. And I can be super gung-ho in three areas of my life and complacent in the other two remaining areas. The other two remaining areas. The result? I am in jeopardy in all areas, as is everything I am responsible for. I'm in jeopardy in all areas of my life, and everything I am responsible for is also in jeopardy. Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with small things can also be trusted with big things. Whoever is dishonest in little things will be dishonest in big things too. If you cannot be trusted with worldly riches, you will not be trusted with the true riches. And if you cannot be trusted with the things that belong to someone else, you will not be given anything of your own. Complacency is a process. I don't wake up with it one day. It requires commitment. Complacency is a process. I got to earn it. I don't wake up with it one day. It requires commitment. I need to work at it a little bit every day, cultivate it, give away my responsibilities a little at a time until the majority of my life is at a loss, even though I am a believer. Over a time, I simply fail to calendar things that need to be done, fail to walk in fellowship with those who are a downer or a buzzkill. In my confused and deranged estimation, when I'm in that kind of a headspace where I'm going for complacency, confused and deranged estimation, I could easily say, of people around me, of qualified people around me, of good people around me, I could even easily say, they do not see the brilliance of my direction. Those people only focus on what is not being tended to and then point out specifically what is suffering due to my irresponsibility. Hey, they don't understand. They don't understand. Some things have to be sacrificed for greatness. Oh, yeah, we know that's not exactly right, but it is too. Ah, you're a buzzkill. I got to work on things. Always a downer. You know, always talking about the negative in my company. When I'm talking about grand things that could happen, if this happens and that happens, I could do that. I'm not going to have to pay attention to that. I can be complacent about that. I can be complacent about my company because I've got a better idea on the horizon. Oh, tough stuff, kids. When the Lord sends messengers to alert me to my unfortunate state of mind, in the mindset of complacent, I politely engage them with a dash of arrogance, pompous self-importance, and move the conversation somewhere else. This hideous chapter gives permission to simply ignore good counsel. And when that happens, I finally successfully achieve the worst in myself, and I'm pursuing the finer points of mediocre or less, all in the name of what is right and good. Proverbs 18:9, one who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. I wonder about that. One who destroys. What does that mean? I wonder what it meant, right? So I looked it up. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Boom. In complacency, I bring myself and others misfortune. By the way, the thief there is the devil. Duh, in case you were wondering. In complacency, I bring myself and others misfortune. Everybody. In my complacency, everything I'm responsible for. All the people, everything. I bring everybody misfortune. Breach of fiduciary duty. My breach of fiduciary duty. Matthew 7:26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. This complacency problem is with believers and non-believers alike. It's not just for one or the other. Hey, it's an equal opportunity employer, right? But as a believer, I am as guilty as any atheist, antagonist, altruist, agnostic, goofball, Martian, wacko, Republican gone bad, Democrat gone bad, you name it. We reflect our ignorance of the word when we are complacent with our responsibilities. We reflect our ignorance of the word when we are complacent in our responsibilities. Dig that. However, in God, you're as a believer, you and I got a shot at recovery. Proverbs 28:26. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. A quote by Carl Jung, one does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. That means complacency is a choice. You know you're doing it. Making the darkness conscious. You can't just say, well, I didn't know I wasn't paying attention to the balance sheet. It's a choice. It's not a virus. You can cause your whole world to be infected by it, however. How do I stop this madness? I'd like to come up with a big scientific response to that. Let me just make it easy. How do I stop this madness of complacency? Don't do it. Period. There you go, kids. Don't do it. Proverbs 1:32. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Oh, man, that's groovy. Complacency invites calamity. Beware. Teach yourself strict guidelines of structure. Ezra 10:4, arise, for it is your task, and we are with you. Be strong and do it. In complacent behavior, I could easily find myself lost completely. Dig this scariness in Proverbs 1:20. The call of wisdom, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. Dude, that means you get to enjoy the failure, right? Winston Churchill once said, courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. Kids, when somebody comes and talks to you about things and they have a history of doing good things in your life and they have a history in their own life of making good choices and or being able to share their bad choices with you because they know it. Somebody comes to you and talks about complacency in any responsible place in your life, listen. Listen. Take it into counsel. Pray about it. Get it done. Do something about it. It's pretty easy to spot complacency. Pretty easy to spot it, and it's pretty easy to give it permission to exist. What is not easy is to overcome it. And once you say okay to 36, welcome to 37. You have believed in a God that is in that Bible now. The devil that is in that Bible is after you. And complacency is the first stop. Sure, maybe not in your whole life, maybe in just this little part. But you will be tested. And because the God in the Bible is on your side, when you overcome, you are stronger for it and you can teach it. Chapter 37, Complacency, 2023. It's real. It's real. Fight it. Overcome and give thanks. I've called it Revolution Evolution. Revolt against yourself and evolve. In His holy name, we pray. Amen. All right, Johnny, let's roll.